As a writer for True West, Wild West, South Dakota, and other magazines, Bill Markley has told the real stories of the Old West. His new novel, Deadwood Dead Men, is a work of fiction, but he's still aiming for historical accuracy. The book takes place in Deadwood, Dakota Territory, in late August 1876, just a couple of weeks after the murder of Wild Bill Hickok in Saloon No. 10. But it's another Deadwood murder in the No. 10 Saloon that leads a newspaper reporter named Jack Jones to start investigating what's really going on in the lawless Black Hills town. Mark Lee is an environmental engineer. He works for the South Dakota Department of Environment and Natural Resources, along with his various magazine articles. He's also published three other books, and he joins us on the line from Pierre. And Bill, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me back.
Well, you've been on the program a couple of times now, talking about some of your articles and other historical work. But today we're discussing your novel, Deadwood Dead Men. And this is your first book of fiction?
Right. This is the first historical novel I've ever written. And it was fun to put together.
Was it a challenge moving from nonfiction to fiction?
Yeah, it really was. because with nonfiction, you want to make sure that you get the story right, that you get all the facts correct. And fiction is a little different. You can kind of go beyond the facts, and that was a leap for me to finally realize, hey, wait a minute, there's a gray area here. I can go ahead and plow into the gray area and use that for material.
So the gray area is that place between the fiction and what really happened in Deadwood?
Yeah, for instance, whenever you do historical research, you'll find a couple of things. You might find three people, and each of those people give a different account of what they saw or did. Or you might find that there's a key piece of information missing, and you just think, oh, man, if I just had that piece of information, I could tell the complete story. So, if you will, the book has bricks in it that are real bricks and then some made-up bricks to kind of interlock the wall together, if you will.
Well, given the rich and colorful history, was Deadwood just sort of the obvious perfect place to set your first historical novel?
For me, yes. I've always, you know, since a kid, I've always loved Deadwood and the mystique of Deadwood. And, you know, when you go in and you look at some of the legends, I'll call them, and what the reality is, sometimes it's kind of hard to separate the two, and it's been fun to go in and, you know, go back and look at the newspapers at the time and read the journals and try to get to the truth, and at the same time present that in a way that's going to be fun and interesting for people to read.
Well, going back to when you were a kid, when you went to Deadwood, what do you remember about that first visit?
Yeah, I remember I was 14 years old. My dad and one of his good friends, we were on a family vacation, and they wanted to walk in the Saloon No. 10. And I remember walking in there and seeing the chair that Wild Bill was allegedly shot in up over the door, and thinking, "Wow, this is pretty neat." And then as you get older and you start digging into the history, you realize, well, it didn't really happen that way.
And that wasn't the chair that he was sitting in.
No, in fact, he sat on a stool. So there were no chairs in Deadwood. So, for instance, in the book, I bring that out, that there were no chairs in Deadwood. There was one chair, and that was owned by a guy named Tom Short, and it was a rocking chair, and everybody wanted to sit in it, but he wouldn't let anybody sit in it.
Was that one of the fun aspects of writing this book is, you know, finding those little bits of history that maybe most people don't know about or don't realize, that Deadwood didn't have any chairs, and then kind of being able to incorporate that into the story?
Yeah, that was really the fun part, trying to find out what businesses were in town at the time. You know, if anybody's seen the HBO series Deadwood, you know, Al Swearingen had the, you know, the Gem Saloon. Well, at that point in time, it wasn't called the Gem Saloon. It was called the Cricket Saloon. Yeah, so, you know, Cricket doesn't sound as good as the Gem, but that's what it was at the time. And so I used that name for his saloon at that point. So, you know, just little things like that. Mount Moriah wasn't called Mount Moriah. It was Hebrew Hill. And, you know, working with good friends like, you know, the historian Jerry Bryant in Deadwood and Rose Spears and up there and other people, and then good friends that are, you know, cowboys and Westerners like Mike Polarzy. I had people, you know, help me along the way to make sure, even though it's fiction, I wanted to try to get as true to the what the times might have been. Of course, you can never really recreate anything, but you can strive to get as close as you can.
In trying to be as accurate as possible, is that something you're trying to, in separating yourself from the HBO Deadwood series?
Yeah, I think anybody that knows the history of Deadwood knows that the HBO series was kind of off in a lot of places. I mean, it was a good show, but you know, I don't think they swore as much as they showed in the show. And the town at the time was really a lot, building-wise and that sort of thing, was a lot more rougher than what they show in the movie.
You're listening to the Dakota Midday Book Club here on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm talking with Bill Markley, who has a new novel set in Deadwood in August of 1876. It's called Deadwood, Dead Men. And, Bill, the book starts with a murder at the Saloon Number 10, as I mentioned in the introduction. A gambler named Bummer Dan was shot and killed by bartender Harry Young, who'd witnessed the murder of Wild Bill Hickok a few weeks earlier. Now these were real-life characters, and this was a real-life event that happened in the Number 10?
Right. These real-life characters, real-life events, it was... probably don't have a lot of time, but real quick, there was a guy named Laughing Sam Hartman. He was having a feud with Harry Young, the bartender. Laughing Sam had a distinctive coat, and one night Harry Young threw him out of Saloon Number 10, and basically they both said they were, you know, they'd probably kill each other if they saw each other on sight. Well, Laughing Sam goes out. He gives his hat and coat to a guy named Bummer Dan Meyer. Bummer Dan wears Laughing Sam's hat and coat into Saloon Number 10. Harry Young sees the hat, the coat, thinking it's Laughing Sam, pulls out a pistol and shoots him twice. This is all true story. And so then they remember there's no law in Deadwood at all, but they convene a miners' court, and after several hours of deliberation, they let Harry Young off. Because basically, he shot. They say he shot in self-defense, and the only real account of what went on was in the paper at the time. And one of the interesting facts that I teased out of that was that Laughing Sam was in the bar at the time that Bummer Dan walked in with his hat and coat. So what was he doing in there without? And why did he give it to, you know, Bummer Dan? And so, you know, so you just have those bare facts, and then you start thinking, well, why? And that's what I put into the novel, you know, maybe some of the backgrounds of why, speculating on what was going on.
Now, your protagonist, Jack Jones, he's a reporter for a Chicago newspaper, and he's the guy that then is trying to answer those questions that you just asked there, and what really happened then?
Right, yeah. I'll say it up front. Jack Jones is a fictional character, but I tried to make him as realistic as possible. I, you know, created the background for him, and if you will, throughout the book, you follow what's going on in Deadwood through the point of view of this reporter, Jack Jones. And so I hope, in a way, that it might be kind of time traveling for people. You can go back and hopefully maybe experience the sights, the sounds, the smells of Deadwood in August 1876.
Now, this newspaper reporter that you've created, the fictional character Jack Jones, now his friends call him Captain.
Right.
And there was a real-life reporter who was in Deadwood around the same time named Captain Jack Crawford. Was that something of an inspiration for your reporter, Jack Jones?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
He was kind of a reporter for the Omaha Bee, and he was not in Deadwood at the time that my character is there. So, no, I didn't use Captain Jack Crawford, and Captain Jack wasn't his real name anyway, but I can't remember what his first name was. But.
Now, mentioned the real-life characters that are in the book, Seth Bullock, Calamity Jane, Charlie Utter, Saul Starr, others. How much of a challenge was it for you to write about them accurately, to have them say and do things that were true to who they really were?
That's a good question, and you can never really, you know, get it exact, but you try to get as close as possible. For instance, Calamity Jane. If anybody's interested, there's a really great book that Jim McLaird wrote on Calamity Jane. I mean, he spent years and years and years researching her, trying to separate fact from myth because she created her own myth while she was still alive. But he's got a great book out about that. So I'd go and I'd read books like that. I'd go back to journals. I'd look at the newspapers and you know, try to create the conversations that I think characters might have participated in. And along with that, you have to make sure that you use words that were used at that time. You can't use words that we use today. You know, as an example, the word hello was not used back then. That was a word made up after the telephone came out. So got to be careful with your language.
Now, for these, when you're writing the book and writing about these real life events and these real life characters, to start the book, did you do all your research and then start working on the story of Deadwood Dead Men?
No, it kind of all happened. I mean, together, I'd already done a lot of research for the various magazine articles I'd written, but then as you're going along, you want to try to research as much as you can, however you can, and I researched all the way. I was still researching right up to the end. If I found something that added to the story or was not quite right in my story to make it more accurate, I would add in that research. But at some point, you have to stop your research and just say, okay, it's done. I'm going to move ahead, and I'm sure there's more stuff out there that I didn't get my fingers on that could have added to the book, but again, you know, it could take a lifetime, and so you stop and you say, okay, this is it, let's see what happens.
How far back does your interest in history go? Has this been a lifelong interest for you?
Oh, yeah, ever since I was a kid, I was born in Pennsylvania. I moved out here in 1976, but I grew up about 3 miles from Valley Forge, and there's just all kinds of history there. And our farm, you know, everything there was antiques. I didn't realize it until I grew up that, hey, we're, you know, using antiques, you know. So, yeah, I've always loved history.
Loved history, and should mention that you've been a historical reenactor, something I think you've even written about in one of your books, Dakota Epic. So this is just part of who you are, this whole interest in history?
Yeah, I think reenacting, I've reenacted Civil War and, you know, Frontier Cavalry and Old West characters. And I think, you know, hopefully that adds to my writing a little bit. I mean, when you use things, and I think it hopefully adds to the story.
So you know what it's like to be dressed in those outfits. You know what it's like to something as basic as being on a horse.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to Dakota Midday, the Dakota Midday Book Club on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm talking with writer Bill Markley. He has a new novel that takes place in August 1876 in Deadwood. It's called Deadwood Dead Men. One of the themes that runs through the book, and you mentioned this earlier when we were talking, the lack of much law, much of a system of justice, and that's woven throughout the story. That's an important part of the life in early Deadwood that you wanted to really capture?
Yes. If you think about it, everybody that was in Deadwood was there illegally. I mean, it was part of the Great Sioux reservation, and they weren't supposed to be there. And so in the past, the the military had come through and evicted people out of the Black Hills down in Custer and that sort of thing. So people always had that tension in the back of their minds, you know, is the Army going to come in here and kick us out? And then you have the tension that, you know, the Native Americans living there didn't want them there, and they were, you know, bushwhacking them, you know, as they were coming to and fro from Deadwood. And then if you think there is absolutely no government in Deadwood at this time, how do you protect yourself? You know, who's going to guard your cabin while you're out working your claim? Who's going to guard your gold that you find? And so, people didn't even take care of the streets. I mean, there were still stumps and boulders in the middle of the street, and people were putting up their privies wherever they wanted to, you know, upstream from where somebody might be, taking the water out of the stream to drink, you know. So I had to throw in a little environmental stuff there. But
a little bit of your professional background there.
Right, yes.
Well, that, you know, getting back to writing this book, you mentioned you wanted to you know, help the readers get not just the sights and the sounds, but also the smells. When you were writing this, did you, you know, put yourself in Deadwood? Were you Jack Jones as you were writing this?
No, I'm going to say I wasn't Jack Jones I wasn't, but I still tried to imagine what it was like. I mean, even though you go to Deadwood and you walk the streets now, it's not the way it was back then. But, I mean, as much as one can, I tried to do that. But you can never, I mean, even with reenacting, you can never really recreate what, you know, people went through back then. But you can try to get as close to it as you can.
Another thing that comes out in the book, along, it might be a little bit surprising, along with the lack of chairs, is that the international nature of Deadwood at the time.
That's right. There are people from literally all over the world. You mentioned Seth Bullock. He was from Canada. Sol Star, he was from Bavaria in Germany. And then, of course, there's one character I have in there, Old Frenchie. He's from, South America, one of the French possessions down there. And then one of the most important ethnic groups were the Chinese. And, I talk about them, and I kind of zoom in on Feely Wong, who was a real-life character who was important between, the white population and the Chinese, because he could speak English and was a link between the two. So, there was an awful lot of different types of people in Deadwood, and I think that's what made it kind of a fun story to kind of tease out some of these people that, the people might not have even heard of before.
Well, we should also note that your book, Bill Markley, Deadwood, Dead Men, isn't all murder and mayhem. There's also a love story between Jack Jones and a show girl named Lil. Important to have a love story in a novel?
I think so. I just thought, I want it to be more than just, a murder story. I wanted to make it as multifaceted as I could. I mean, every person, has different sides to him. So I wanted to try to show that with Jack Jones and Lil and some of the other characters there. Jack LaGresh, who ran the Deadwood Theater. I mean, there's so many fun characters from Deadwood. It was it was really fun to go in there and kind of, discover them for myself and hopefully present them to people that, when they read this, they'll want to go learn more about some of these people and some of the events that happened out there.
Are you, after writing Deadwood Dead Men, planning on maybe doing another historical novel?
We'll see. I've got it set up so I could. I just have to carve out the time. And
And what will it? I'm wondering about the experience of writing a historical novel. How that might affect the historical writing that you do for magazines. The nonfiction.
I don't think the fiction affects the nonfiction, but I've always tried to. My nonfiction, I've always tried to write it in a way that makes it interesting for people. I mean, history, to me, is so interesting. I mean, it's more than just, dates and facts and that sort of thing. But it's, choosing the words to present it in a way that, can make it fun and interesting for people. I just had a story that's coming out in Wild West magazine on in your April issue. It's called Fort Dilts, which took it was a action that took place between wagon train and the Hunkpapa Lakota back in 1863. And it was fun to go in and get the facts, but then again present it in a way that people are going to read it and hopefully go dig more in the history and find out more about it.